Mass.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
I'll probably hate it.
Not running this time, and that one tag, a shot to left, back it goes, it is gone! Hanley Ramirez back in Miami, and loving it. His first home run of the season. A two-run drive with Big Poppy looking on, and makes it 5-1 Sox.
Hi everybody, welcome to the program. A random home run from Hanley Ramirez. Play that for obvious reasons. It's an agenda-free Friday, first of all, brought to you by Planet Fitness, the world judges they don't, planetfitness.com. If you've heard the news today, the Red Sox have designated for assignment, i.e. released Hanley Ramirez to get roster room for Dustin Pedroia. It's an agenda-free Friday. Everything's on the table, but we have to start with that, Maz, particularly your thoughts.
So here's what I would tell you. I am eager to see what the formal explanation of this is. But I will tell you that I hate it. I hate it because it feels to me like purely 100% a financial decision in that Hanley's got the vesting option on his contract. And I was in, I think I said to you earlier, there's no way they'll let him get it. I think I said to you,
you've absolutely been saying that.
Okay. I said, there's no way they will let him get the vesting option on his contract and pay him $22 million for next year. And so to me, this is 100% a financial decision in a year where they are essentially loaded for bear and the World Series. It's really, you know, league championship series run, World Series run or bust. How can you like it? Try to tell me. My question would be to Dave Dombrowski. How can you tell me with a straight face that Brock Holt is more important to the Red Sox than Hanley Ramirez? How can you possibly tell me that with a straight face?
I love the move.
So why?
Because I don't like Hanley, and I never have.
Okay, who are your best hitters in the postseason?
Hanley's got a good postseason track record. He does.
Okay, so Hanley can hit in the playoffs, and you have sucked in the playoffs. And so, at the very least, I would have said to them, find another way to prevent him from getting the plate appearances. Come up with a phantom injury. Come up with something. You might piss him off. I don't care.
Exactly. So what's the point of that? Because if they're and you supported them not getting him his plate appearances.
Correct.
How's that going to go over?
It's all right.
I mean, we're one of the biggest dogs in pro sports. See, I don't trust Hanley. Even when Hanley's going good, even when he's acting right, I think it's just that. I think it's an act. So even when he has a good year or a good month or a good half season, and let's face it.
What did he hit in the playoffs last year?
The year, I don't know.
571. What's his career average in the postseason?
It's up there.
380. 380.
I don't trust him.
You're telling me you couldn't cut bait with Brock Holt now?
I don't trust him to be there.
You kept Brock Holt over Hanley.
I don't trust Hanley to be there. I don't. I mean, if he's there, great. He's there. I don't trust him. Whenever he acts like a team leader, I think it's just an act. Whenever he's hitting, I think it's just a spurt. I have no faith in him. I have no trust in him. I think he's straightened out here nicely. I mean, I'll grant you that by his standards. But heretofore, well, one of the biggest dogs Jake artists in pro sports.
Separate question.
Quitter.
Separate question.
One of the biggest quitters in pro sports.
Separate question.
Never trusted the guy. Never had faith that he'd be there for you in the end. And see you later.
Separate question.
See you later. I like it. It showed balls.
Of course you like it because everyone else hates it. So what
does everyone else hate it? I have no idea.
Oh, I think most people hate it.
Really?
Yeah, and I can tell you that the reason I hate it is different from everyone else.
I'm just being consistent. I've never liked the player.
Okay, but
never trusted the player, never wanted the player.
You like Brock Holt?
I have no use for Brock Holt.
Do you think Hanley's better than Brock Holt?
Yes.
Okay, so why is Brock Holt still on this team? Because Hanley makes more money and he has a vesting option in his contract.
Because
that's why.
Brock Holt's not going to blow up the team if they, and I know that's a little strong, but you know what I mean. He's not going to be a major pain in their ass if they sit him, bench him, do whatever they were going to do to Hanley.
Yeah, and Brock Holt's also not going to hit 571 in the playoffs.
Neither is Hanley this year.
With a career 380.
Neither is Hanley.
Want to bet?
He's going to get hurt. He's going to quit. He can do something. I don't trust him.
He hits when it matters. He hits when it matters. And I'm just telling you, I want to see how they explain this for something other than the money.
Hanley Ramirez.
Because honestly, you know what they're going to do?
They're going to shed a tear for Hanley Ramirez.
They're going to do exactly
what
you're doing.
I can't stand the guy.
Yeah, they're going to do exactly what you're doing, which is talk about his character. Even though by all accounts this year, there have been no issues whatsoever. None. I hate it. Hate it. You're going to load up a team with a $230 million payroll, and then get 6 weeks into it with the best record in baseball and then cut one of your best postseason hitters. I hate it. Okay, I'm done.
All right. I have a couple of NBA-related things I wanted to touch on first.
Oh, so hold on. So there's that. Okay, so normally we do opening takes and whatnot, but we're going to be Hanley and Hoops really to start here. And Murray was going to weigh in on last night's game, which is, I think, a really big development for the Celtics and the NBA and et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, Murray, so that's your opening take.
Well, it's two things. First, to the Celtics, I just, for the love of God, please wrap this thing up tonight. And it's not so much, I don't say that so much as because I'd be concerned about LeBron going all freight train coming your way for Game 7 and coming in here and pulling it off and, wow, LeBron dug deep and he beat you. I say that more because I'm just tired of this dog of a series that has been a slog to watch. It's so predictable, night after night after night. And that's not even a knock on the Celtics. I realized this after this last game. It's about the Cavs. The Cavs are the reason that this thing sucks, and they're a particularly bad brand of basketball. I'm tired of having to watch the likes of Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson and J.R. Smith and the biggest puke of them all, Jeff Green. So please, just for me, just wrap this thing up tonight so I don't have to watch another one of these games in this series on Sunday night. So that's all. Just the Celtics. And then the other thing on last night's game. If you've been paying any particular attention to this, it's blatantly obvious. Chris Paul is the best player in the Rockets. They're the reason that they're up 3-2 on the Golden State Warriors. And him going down with this injury and being out for Game 6 and who knows how hobbled he's going to be for Game 7, that's a huge development, especially if they end up pulling this thing off and the Celtics win this series. Like, they might have a legitimately good chance of beating the Rockets in the finals. But James Harden, in these last couple of games, Maz, everything you've ever said about James Harden, I sometimes think you've been too hard on this player. You are not. He stinks when it matters the most. His numbers last night, he did everything in his power to shoot the Warriors back into that game. And even though he had 30 points in Game 4, look at his numbers. He was 3 of 12 from 3. Last night, 0-11 from 3. Overall, 5 for 21 on the night. There's not a shot that he didn't think he can make. And what he's best at is slashing to the hoop, getting fouled, getting to the line. That's James Harden's game. There might not be anybody better in the league than him. But outside shots, I had an epiphany last night. I tweeted about it, took a lot of flack for it, and I mean it. I don't mean this with a hint of irony. I'd rather have Marcus Smart shoot a big three than James Harden. I'm not kidding. Because Marcus Smart at least has a penchant for hitting a big three when you least expect it. You're like, no, Marcus, and he hits the damn thing. It's what he does. Sure, he, like Harden, he's never met a shot he doesn't like, but he'll hit those clutch threes when you need them. Harden, he's a chucker's chucker.
Gutless loser.
Oh, my God.
Another one.
So, root, you guys, as a Celtics fan, you really got to root hard for this Houston team, because if Chris Paul's hobbled and on one leg, and it's Harden you got to worry about, you legitimately could win that series.
Major development last night.
Huge.
On two fronts. Houston wins, and Paul gets hurt. But now that leads me to believe there's no way Houston can close this series out without Paul. Because if you're relying on James Harden, you will lose. Categorically, no debate. His last 23-pointers? How do you miss 23-pointers in a row?
He's a bum.
He's a bum.
And they're not even close, Mike.
Not even close. So, you get the best of both worlds. You get Houston up on that series. Houston has a real chance to advance. But then their best player goes down, and the most valuable player. So there's two ways to look at that. If Houston gets through and Chris Paul's hobbled, even if without Chris Paul being hobbled, you've got a shot against that team.
Sure you do.
But if Chris Paul's hobbled,
now it's winnable.
It's really on.
It's winnable.
But then I immediately stop myself and say, can Houston close him out without Chris Paul?
Probably not.
Probably not is right. So, but Iguodala, what's Iguodala's status? I knew he didn't play again last night, right?
Yeah, no. It's some sort of knee issue.
So I watched most of that game last night. I found it fascinating on a lot of fronts, which we'll get to throughout the course of the day. I mean, what's happened to the Golden State Warriors? And when I say that, just in terms of their clutch, smart play, they were so dumb down the stretch of that ball game last night. I couldn't recognize them. I couldn't believe it. I expected from Houston. I mean, it's just both teams are just chuck and duck. Like, no sort of smarts or awareness or clock management or, like, the sequence that just stands out to me is the sequence where Paul got hurt. When he pulled his hamstring, there was 50 seconds left, and Houston's up by one. And he pulls his hamstring on a little turnaround shot, and he hits the deck, and he doesn't get up. And basically, Golden State comes down 5-on-4. And the refs don't blow the whistle. So it's 5-on-4 with about 45 seconds left, 50 seconds left. Golden State down one on a power play, basically, because Paul's not getting down. And I can't remember who it was. It may have been Draymond
Quinn
Green.
Quinn Cook was the one that took
the
shot.
Well, no, I know who took the shot. I mean, I don't know who took the shot.
Right, you shouldn't.
I'm like, who the hell was that?
Yeah, Quinn
but
Cook.
But I thought it was Draymond Green who drove the lane and then kicked it out to this guy. And I'm not an NBA guy, so like I don't watch full games like I did last night, but even after this kid had played like 8 minutes, I'm like, who is that? And he takes his three-pointer.
Yeah.
Like 10 seconds into the shot clock when Golden State has a 5-on-4 advantage because Paul's not getting down the floor. They're only down a point. They don't need three.
Right.
And this kid with the wild hair takes a three. I'm like, what happened to the Warriors? Where's the timeout? Like, no, well, you can't call a timeout because then Paul gets back in the play and they even up. But like Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. And this kid takes the three-pointer when they're up. They have a 5-on-4. I couldn't believe it.
Quinn Cook.
Who is that?
You shouldn't know. No one should know. It's a team that has Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Quinn Cook.
I never seen or heard of the guy.
The Mighty Quinn.
Who the hell is that guy? I couldn't believe it. Like, and the Warriors are one of those few teams in the league I give credit for sort of having half a brain.
Sure, having
like
a clue.
You,
no,
you know?
They do have a clue.
And holy crap, the amount of bad three-pointers they took. They had another chance to go ahead. You know, that of course, Harden went down, bricked the shot. Curry comes back, wild, leaning, you know, sort of. It wasn't a layup, you know, just a wild shot attempt. Didn't go, like, I was just so disappointed in Golden State and how they handled themselves. I mean, what happened to you people? But anyway, fascinating what's happening there in the West and how that relates to you and tonight and the opportunity you have.
Door is opening.
The door is ajar. All right, so that and Hanley. This Red Sox have finally cut bait with that choking dog. Choking is the wrong word.
380 postseason.
I'm confusing him and Harden.
No, let's bat Brock Holt clean up tonight. What the
so
hell?
Many similarities, though.
I like Brock Holt.
That quitting fraud, Hanley Ramirez, is finally gone.
Let's keep Brock Holt.
Good riddance. Your thoughts on all of it right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hits the second as well. 98-94 Houston. 2.4 to go in game five. They go to Thompson, throws it up at the horn. No good, and it's over. The Houston Rockets have survived game five and are now one win away from the NBA Finals as they beat the Golden State Warriors tonight, 98-94.
All right, some Houston radio, obviously. Celts as it relates to the Western Conference on the board, and Hanley Ramirez being released today by the Red Sox. Shockingly released by the Red Sox. Your reaction to all of it. Adam in North Reading, lead us off today on Agenda Free Friday. Billy, can you put him up, please? Hey, Adam.
Hey, so I'm talking about Hanley here. I want to preface it by saying I think Hanley is a bum, and I think that he doesn't try very often, but I don't like the move. Because you already had an unhappy Blake Swihart who didn't want to be here. So if Dave knew Pedroia was going to be coming back to the roster, then he should have been on the phone with every team in the league trying to see if he could get something for Swihart and then keep Hanley on the roster because he does try in the postseason, and that's when it's when it matters the most. So I don't really like the move that much. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Do you think this was done only because Pedroia's coming back? You know what I think?
No, I'm telling you, I think the money's a big reason.
I think they're using it as an excuse to do it. In other words, of course, money's the reason. They don't want to pay him next year. And they don't want him clogging the roster next year. So how do you keep him from those plate appearances to get that year to vest? You have to bench him, in which he'll cause a big stink because he's a big stink kind of guy. Or he'll quit and infect the locker room because that's who he is. So then you have to try and trade him. No one's going to take him. So this is how you do it. And you use the Pedroia thing as an excuse. In other words, they've wanted to do this either way.
Probably.
And this is just sort of their opening to do it.
No question, because again, he's gone cold in this month, right? So he went.
So, right, so there's a good confluence of events there.
I mean, if he's hitting, how do they justify it?
Right.
They can't.
Right.
So he went cold. Pedroia's coming back. They don't want to pay the contract. So listen, everything you're saying about Hanley, of course he's a pain in the ass. I mean, he's been a pain in the ass since the day they brought him here.
I think he's a faker. I think he's, whatever good stuff he's brought you, he's faked it. Like, that's how I feel about him. Any good day with Hanley's a fake. or a feign, or it's not going to last, or I don't trust it. Like, that's how I feel about the guy.
But has he had cold stretches before?
Well, sure.
I mean, he's had lots of cold stretches.
No, the reason to keep him is what you're saying, the postseason numbers. They're legit. I can't. There's no counter for that.
I mean, I just don't understand why Brock Holt is on this. There's no. I don't want to hear them tell me today.
It's not about Brock Holt.
Okay, they're going to feed me some sort of crap later, though.
Yes, they will.
Okay, I guarantee you it's coming. And it is 100% a financial decision.
It's not about Brock Holt. It's not even about Dustin Pedroia. It's about them wanting to be rid of Hanley Ramirez because they don't want him around next year with that salary and whatever they have planned for the lineup and the roster and et cetera. They were waiting for just an opportunity to do it.
Yeah, to save the money. See, like the whole clubhouse thing, I don't even think that's it. I think it's purely about the money. Purely about the money. You know, the fact that he's a dog and everything has always been true. It's been true when they brought him here. It feels to me like this year he's been a good citizen. This was a financial decision, which as a fan should piss you off.
We've got Pat in Los Angeles on the Celts. Hi, Pat.
Hey, guys. I was wondering if you draw, and I know you just talked about the Sox, so I wonder if you draw any comparison, I don't know if it's been done lately, of the 2013 Sox winning that whole thing to the 2018 Celtics, because they're kind of like finding fool's gold here. It's almost like all gravy. I know that wasn't really the case for the Sox, but that team wasn't. You know, I think we can admit it was a little lucky that they got as far and won it all. So I just was wondering your thoughts on that.
So look, if the Celtics somehow get to the finals and get to face the Houston Rockets again, like here's my childhood again, right? Like rooting against the Celtics in the 80s, and then you get the Rockets 2 out of 3 years that you win the championship. Like, neat. You beat the Rockets. It's going to happen again. You've got that all-time Golden State team hanging there, and they're going to, for no reason, there's no excuse for them, gag against a Houston team that shouldn't be ready. That shouldn't be. And you might get Houston with their most important player hobbled. Ay, ay, ay.
What a break.
Oh, God.
I mean, again, so the other thing I wonder about is, like, did LeBron take notice?
It's a good point.
Like, does LeBron look at it now and go, whoa.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on. The door just creaked open. I win game 6 now. Let's see what happens. CP3's hobbled. Now, I think Golden State's going to win the last two. That's what I think is going to happen.
Especially with Paul down.
But if Houston gets in there, whoever comes out of the East can win it.
Huh. Gary in Tennessee. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, I was just calling Matt on Maris's salary. You think it was a strategy to have space on the salary cap for luxury tax, I mean?
Gary, no, and the reason why is they have to pay it anyway. They get hit with the whole 22. So by releasing Hanley now, it's not like they take the money off the books. They're stuck with it.
Well, for this year.
For this year.
Not next.
Right. No. Next year, they're looking to get out for next year. This has nothing to do with 2018.
And what if they're looking to get out for Manny Machado or Bryce Harper, who are both up, right?
Okay, do you think that's why they're doing it?
Maybe.
I don't. I mean, they're freeing up money.
Are they freeing up money to sign Mookie Betts?
Okay, so, but again, how does the 1 year affect Mookie? He's done after next year. Mookie's going to be an 8-year contract.
I'm just saying, if there's a give and take.
There's no give and take. They just don't want to pay Hanley the 22.
Next year.
Yeah, next year. Yeah.
So there's a reason there.
Yeah, next year. It's a pure, but all I'm saying is.
So that's great. So you know, you and others.
Just don't give me a baseball decision.
It's not. I mean, it's partly.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is. In that, well, I mean, they didn't DFA JD Martinez, who makes a lot of money, too.
Okay, but
they trust him. He's worth it.
But Hanley they Ramirez, kept Brock Holt.
You know, they don't, but he doesn't make anything. This is not the issue. The issue is, next year, they're looking out, and they're looking at either paying their own guys, and you've said it before, their window is so short because they have to pay all these guys they can't. Kimball's going to be up, Porcello's going to be up, et cetera, et cetera. And with Hanley's 22 off the books, makes it more likely to re-sign one of those guys or go into the market. And they never wanted Hanley on this team next year. So the only other alternative to make sure he doesn't vest those plate appearances is to bench him. In which case, he would take a steaming dump in your locker room because that's the kind of guy that he is. So get him the hell out of here. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that it's driven by the finances part of it. That's all. I mean, again, you have built a roster a certain way with the idea of winning a championship. And the guy who's got a .380 career average in the postseason is the one that gets sent out the door? All right, fine. No problem. Listen, I understand the logic. But now just don't feed me that it's some sort of, because they're going to feed me some load of crap today,
so look,
and I'm not going to accept
it. Okay, then we'll rip them for feeding us crap.
Well, I'm taking a preemptive measure.
No problem. Well, this is from my standpoint. I've you know, in the how long has Hanley been here? 4 years?
This is his fourth season.
In the 4 years he's been here, I've said like two nice things about the guy because I got no use for him. I never have. Never liked him. Never trusted him. When he did keep it together here these times he's kept it together, I thought it was fool's gold. When he acted the right way, I thought it was just an act. I got never has I been a Hanley, have I been a Hanley Ramirez guy. So they release him, and I have no use for him. So they release him, I'm going to rip the team? I never liked the guy to begin with. See you later.
Yeah, let's keep Brock Holt, though. He'll help.
Here's Mike in New Bedford. Hi, Mike. What do you got? Michael! You got to turn down your TV, your radio, however you're consuming us there, you got to turn it down. Mark in Andover. Hi, Mark.
Guys, being a traditionalist and a purist of sports, Hanley, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Amen.
You know, this social event between the lines, hey, growing up, you that's your enemy on the other side of the field. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of things I think the Sox should take a look at. You know, the JBJ situation, they're going to have to rein him in and put Benny in center field. You got to do something with Swihart.
Okay, now you've given us 14 different things. This isn't a vacuum. This is about they don't want Hanley on that roster next year. They don't want him on the payroll next year. How do we deal with it? And this is their excuse. Otherwise, they were going to shut him down. Somehow, I mean, because you obviously heard that. I mean, you know that, or you just, there was good instinct.
No, it was purely instinct.
That the Sox were never going to let him vest that option. Which means if he was going to stay healthy, they were stuck. And if you bench him and you take away those plate appearances and you deprive him of that $22 million guaranteed, just because, he will ruin your team. That's the kind of guy that he is, and you know it.
So listen, he's a pain in the ass.
See you later.
So this is where Cora was going to have to do some managing. Like, you know, if Cora can get through to him and, you know, Hanley's in great shape and all the nonsense they fed us over the winter, fine. Then manage him and figure it out. Look, I told you. I think, honestly, you know what I believe? They thought he'd have been hurt by now. Or they thought he would have shut it down by now. And he didn't. He kept playing. And he's had a bad May. He's hitting like 160 or whatever it is for the month. And they said, oop, here we go. Here's our chance. Let's get out now. That's what they did. Let's get out now.
God bless.
So I just think it could bite him in the ass in October.
I think he'll be better off for it in the long run. Any team without Hanley Ramirez in the long run is going to be better off.
Okay, they better hit in October.
Here's an update from Murray again, breaking Red Sox news this afternoon. Pretty big one. He'll give you details here. We come back and react.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So let me ask the panel this. Do you remember that home run?
No.
No.
Walk-off home run against the Yankees, September of 2016.
No.
Walk-off home run against the Yankees. Do you remember it?
No.
Let me ask you this then. That's an entree into the next question. What's the biggest hit of Hanley Ramirez's Red Sox career? Can you even name one? And I'm not telling you why he hasn't had him. He's obviously had him. But what, like... Even the biggest bums that have come through here, you remember J.D. Drew hit a home run in the ALC, et cetera, et cetera. Give me Hanley Ramirez's defining moment here as a Red Sox.
Maybe opening day this year.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Maybe the home opener this year.
Oh, neat, against Tampa.
He had a big home run against the Yankees down there this year.
Okay.
But again, it's
April,
early in the year.
April, May, yeah.
Okay, so look.
You gave me his playoff average. Can you remember a single playoff hit?
Well, no, because they got their asses kicked. It wasn't his fault. That part wasn't his fault.
I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm just saying, I don't feel like he really had an impact here, even with his good postseason average. It's not. I mean, so I'm not blaming him because the rest of the team couldn't hit. I'm not doing that. I'm just. It's like, give me his grade for his 3.5 years here.
C plus.
I was going to say C minus, D plus, C minus.
Right.
Somewhere in there.
Right.
Even with it wasn't a disaster. It wasn't a disaster.
You know, he got off his ass 1 year when probably David
2016.
David Ortiz probably got in his face, or you know, for whatever reason, he decided he wanted to play for David Ortiz in his last year, or show the Red Sox I could be that guy because I want his job. You know, next year, whatever. Yeah, that was the 1 year that he gave you. Otherwise, the other 3.5 were disappointing, and the 2.5 were disappointing.
No question.
And the postseason hits, I can't take him away, except he didn't really make an impact in your lineup. Not his fault no one else could hit, but it's like, I don't know. I don't think we're going to notice a difference. I really don't.
So look, I'm going to make, you know, I'm not here to defend Hanley Ramirez's character, because it's beyond defense. There's no way, I'm not going to defend Hanley's character. Just don't tell me this was a baseball decision.
Okay, Dombrowski speaks at 3. I'm sure he'll feed us a bunch of crap and we can rip him for that.
Yep. Well, I'm getting ready.
I have no problem. The truth.
Let's keep Brock Holt.
The truth
is a valuable guy.
The truth is they didn't want him on the payroll next year because they want to pay either their guys or someone else. And I don't blame him one bit. And the only way to get out of that was to take those plate appearances away, and he would have ruined your team, or tried to, because that's who he is. And he would have infected everything down there. So there was no other option. No one would take him in a trade, so see you later. And there's a lot of guys who make a lot of money down there, but at least I have some trust in those guys. I have no trust in Hanley, and I don't blame them if they have no trust in Hanley.
They better hit in October.
Matt in Somerville, your thoughts. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up? It's definitely about the money. What did he reach? 422 at bats this year. He was guaranteed that $22 million on top of the $15 they owed him. That's number one. Number two, hey, Felger, you forgot about 2 years ago, opening day, where he hit those two home runs in Philly. I think that was one of his biggest ones. Still.
Opening day. He also hit two home runs. Was it the home opener here, his first year here with the Red Sox? He hit a grand slam, like, early in this first season. Because I just know this because Billy pulled a bunch of his home runs. I'm like, when was this? I don't remember this. When was that? I don't remember that. Like, again, do you remember a Hanley Ramirez play?
No, not a lot of them, no.
I don't remember. I remember him forgetting his glove.
How many of Brock Holt's plays do you remember?
Oh, God, none. But why do you keep making this about Brock Holt?
Because if it's a baseball decision, you chop off the guy at the bottom of the roster. When you bring a guy off the disabled
list, it's not a baseball decision.
You typically get rid of the 25th. Again, but I philosophically have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. You're trying to win the World Series. You have a $230 million payroll. And now you're going to worry about the money? Like, philosophically, I have a problem with that. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, but you understand.
I'm not yelling at you.
No, it's okay.
But Phyllis, that bugs me. And it's not. Listen, I get it. The Hanley character thing, I get. But philosophically, you load up for beer, you're going for a championship, and you cut your best postseason hitter?
Nah. It's a mirage. It's a mirage. Cam and Taunton, what do you got, Cam?
The Golden State Warriors don't know how to execute late in games. I mean, that play last night, that pass from Curry to Green, is as routine a play in the NBA just seen, and because Green is so tight, he completely loses it. And it's like, because this team wants everything handed to them, and they don't want to fight for anything, because there's no other reason why you would have the second and third best players in the world on the same team, because you're a bunch of gutless cowards who just want everything handed to them. Go back. There's a perfect example of this. Go back and look. There's the final 3 minutes of Game 7 of the Finals in 2016 are on YouTube. Go back and watch that. Go look at the shots they take. Go look at how bad their defense is on Irving's three-pointer that he made. The Warriors don't know how to execute in close games late because they don't want to earn anything. They just want everything handed to them.
Maybe they're just not used to being in that spot, because that was disappointing last night. I mean, Cam is right. Why? And again, for people who watch a lot of basketball and watch a lot of Golden State, they're going to say, Felger, where have you been? So I don't watch. You know, so like I really watched last night. So these things are new to me. Sorry. But why do they run so much of the offense through Draymond Green like that? Like, they almost use him as like a point forward kind of thing.
He's a good passer.
But where they like, they give him the ball at midcourt to get him into the offense. And the play that you're talking about, that's the game right there. First of all, good point, Cam. They were stupid to call time. There was a missed free throw, and Draymond Green passed the ball, and then they called a timeout, so they had to take it in the backcourt. If they had rebounded the free throw and called timeout immediately, they get in the front court. But because Draymond Green was sort of off balance going out of bounds, he passed it. And then the next guy called timeout. And if I have the players wrong, forgive me. But if you're watching, you know what happened. There was a missed free throw, and the guy's sort of leaning out of bounds, and so he passed it back inbounds. And then that player called timeout. You can't take it in the front court. You got to keep it in the back court. So that's one mistake. Like, the guy who's teetering out of bounds, just call timeout before you lean out of bounds. And you get it in the front court. So they have to start in the back court. And I think it's Curry with the ball who then passes it way up court to Draymond Green, like 6 seconds left. 5 seconds left by the time that happens.
So this is after Curry missed the one off the glass.
Yes, this was so, yes, right. It was the next Golden State opportunity. I think they're down three at this point. And it's like, why? Or it was either two or three. Well, why is Draymond Green the one that triggers the offense there? I don't get it. Someone who watches basketball or smarter than me has got to explain it to me. But I don't get that. When you've got Curry, Thompson, Durant, like, Draymond Green's the guy that's going to handle the ball and set the like, why? All right, so fine. Maybe I just don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But they blew when to call the timeout. Draymond Green dropped that pass. The play that is just, I'll never forget, is Chris Paul's hurt and lying on the ground. And the Golden State Warriors have a 5-on-4 power play. The refs aren't blowing the whistle. And they're down a point. There's 50 seconds left. And it's early in the shot clock. And this kid I've never seen before. And again, maybe that's a me thing, but...
No, you shouldn't know who Quinn Cook is.
Quinn Cook? You've got Hall of Famers and champions spread all over the floor.
Yeah.
And Houston's down a man.
You need Quinn Cook to hit the dagger.
And you're only down a point. So you don't need three. And boy, watching that game, how many times do I find myself saying that? You don't need a three here. Why are you chucking from 30 feet? All these teams did was chuck. All these teams did was dribble out
on
the perimeter.
Like minutes before, it was maybe a 2-on-1, and Clay. It's a 2-on-1. Clay. They go out to Clay Thompson in the corner to try to hit a three. Like, just dude, just get the easy bucket.
No.
At that point,
was all chuck and duck. I think I had it here in front of me. I think Houston had 43 3-point attempts. 43. They shot 70 something attempts in the game. Like, well over half of their attempts are from. And Chris Paul was balls. He was nailing these attempts, but the rest of them. It's like, good God, what has happened?
Oh, yeah, well, the Houston is, you know, I mean, they play the most wide-open game of the league. Like, they take 43s every game, but pretty much every game.
But I think those were the last three Golden State possessions. That Cook kid, I'm purposely going to forget his name.
Quinn.
That guy, Quinn Buckner there, takes the three-pointer. Then Curry with this wild, off-balance, contested mid-range shot off the backboard. And then this thing with Draymond Green, you know, like, they call the timeout at the wrong time, have to take it in the backcourt, and they get up to Draymond Green, who drops it.
So on the Quinn Cook shot, I mean, so this is the problem with Golden State. They just don't have any shooters at the end of the game.
It's unbelievable.
So, you jackasses.
But God bless. So maybe if you can pull through here, you draw Houston, maybe. Which, again, I don't know how Houston closes them out without Chris Paul, because don't get me started on James Harden. But a fascinating little turn of events there.
Harden's a bum. But, you know, as Cam and Taunton said, like, I don't know, you start thinking about it. Golden State was up 3-1 on Cleveland. They lost. Golden State won, but that was the year Kyrie got hurt. I don't know. Maybe there's something there, too. Maybe that
team. Look how sloppy Draymond was at the end of that game with the ball. Like, maybe, I don't know, they get a little tight. They don't know how to deal with adversity.
Just quickly, he's fat. He is fat, man. Get in shape. He's fat.
We got that. We got Hanley. Back to you after this.
Listening to Felger and Nas.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mavs.
I love it.
You were right, Mavs.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
I made a note 5 minutes into the game. It's one of the first notes I wrote down tonight was, why is LeBron grabbing his shorts and bending over on a free throw attempt 5-6 minutes into the game? It just didn't look right.
Mouthpiece out, mouth open, knees buckled, towel wiping, tissue wiping, frustrated, bad pass. This is an all-time great passer. That's a bad pass. That's a drop off to Jeff Green. LeBron James has been worn out, and give credit to the Celtics and the multiple bodies that they put on.
It just looks like he's mentally tired. He's tired of seeing his supporting cast not show up for him. You know, that can wear on you over time when you're just constantly knowing you have to go out there and score 40 points, get 12 assists in order for your team to have a win. It just seems like it's getting to him mentally.
It's a point of pride for LeBron James not to show any kind of fatigue, hands on his waist, bending over, all of which we have seen to the point, Mike, that she believes he's tired as well. So the guys are on point.
And I didn't mention the fatigue either. One of you guys did. I'm fine.
And then we have LeBron's fatigue. Do we expect the fatigue tonight? Billy Lanny putting that together. That was all from, oh my God, the fatigue the other night. Please. A little too obvious fatigue, if you ask me. A little too obvious, which we talked about it all day yesterday. I feel like it's a setup. LeBron creating this standard NBA fake drama. Pick himself off the mat, win one for Cleveland. Like, that's coming.
Something tells me you're going to get LeBron with a lot of energy in that game tonight.
All right, so there's that, and the, boy, is the door ajar. Is the door ajar with Houston up on Golden State, Golden State not being able to close, and not only is Houston up on Golden State, but now their most important player, their one winning player, and I don't know if that's entirely fair, but if Houston wins anything, it's because of Chris Paul, not James Harden. Now Chris Paul is dinged with this hamstring, which I think is real. Like, I think most NBA injuries are fake. You know me. Like, I think they're all faking it, setting up their drama. Not that one. Like, that one immediately, I felt like that one's real. I mean, if there's a minute left, he's not getting back down to the other end of the floor. You don't set up the drama at that time.
Well, so, and I think he's had problems with his hamstrings in the past. I looked at my phone quickly. I think he's already out for game.
Yo, he's out.
Yeah,
he's out.
Oh, yeah. No, that's real. That's a real injury.
No question that's real. So, door is ajar, Red Sox, Celtics. And the Red Sox, they dump Hanley Ramirez today. Good for them, I say.
Not me.
Hanley and, I'm sorry, Jack and Winthrop. Go ahead, Jack.
Matt, you're being unfair. I personally remember all seven of Brock Holt's career home runs. and as far as I'm concerned, Dave Dombrowski just dropped a $22 million turd in the Charles River, and I'm totally tickled about it. Financial flexibility for next year, I think, is key. God willing, David Price will opt out of his contract. Now you've got $22 million from Hanley off the books. Pablo Sandoval's contract comes off the books.
No, it doesn't.
Now you got about $70 million. No?
No, Pablo doesn't.
It's a four-year deal, right?
No, Pablo was a five-year deal. He's got one more.
Either way, you're clear of $22 million. $22 million. And you're not going to miss him. You're not going to miss him.
So will you be pissed if they don't use the money?
Next year, of course.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I want to see how that one shakes out. And honestly, I don't think that, look, it's $22 million, don't get me wrong, but I think there's other ways to save money. And the other thing is, I think they could have found another way to prevent Hanley from getting there. Just come up with an injury.
But if he's not hurt and he knows you're blocking him from getting that vesting option, he's going to pitch a fit, and he's not the guy that you want infecting your team. You know that. So this is it's their excuse. This really has nothing to do with Brock Holt, who you keep bringing up. This has nothing to do with Dustin Pedroia. The Sox were hell-bent on him not vesting that option. And the only other way to do it was to shut him down or to take away those plate appearances or bench him. And if you did that, he would infect your clubhouse because that's who he is. So get him out of here.
So why didn't they cut him before the season?
I would not have shed one tear if that happened.
Okay, just because, maybe they just said, well, we'll get what we can out of him and then see you later.
To me, it was a risk because if he, continued to hit and played well, it'd be much harder for them to release him. It's, they found an opening here in May with him hitting 160-something, you said?
I think it's 160 in May. I'll double-check.
So, there's their opening. If Hanley was balls to the wall and hitting great, they'd really get hammered for this. So I think they're lucky that Hanley had a bad month. Again, get out while you can. Joe and Peabody on the Celts. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's up, Mike? Just giving you a call real quick today about them. I really think you're going to close it out tonight. The other thing, too, as far as,
So, look, your phone sucks. You see, you think the Celts are going to close it out tonight? I hope they do, for no other reason other than I see...
Let's break the pattern.
See something different in this, for godforsaken series.
I mean, the first five games, again, and it hit you before. It hit me over the head in game five. Holy crap, was that bad. That was just so bad to watch. It really was. It was thoroughly unentertaining, if that's even a word. So, of course, yeah, it'd be great if they could wrap it up and gives you multiple stories there. One, somebody finally wins on the road, and two, they go to the finals. But tonight's a LeBron night, it feels like to me.
Hanley Ramirez, as a Red Sox, you give that signing a C-minus? You give it a C-plus?
What do you give it?
C-plus.
C-minus.
I mean, that's what I say. It's somewhere around there.
C-minus. He gave you one good year out of the four. He put up good postseason numbers, but not his fault, I guess, but didn't make a difference. And I can't remember a single big player hit, and maybe it's just because I have no brain cells, but it's
Just quick, Red Sox fan, name his biggest hit, biggest play as a Boston Red Sox.
Okay, name Mookie Betts's. So this is my point. They don't win any. They don't win big games. Like I just wouldn't use that as the metric. I told you philosophically what bugs me about it is that you're going to make a run at a championship, and you dump the guy who has your best postseason average.
Okay, so we know why they did it, though. We know why they did it.
I just hate that it's for money.
What's the load of crap we're going to get fed by Dave Dombrowski?
Okay.
That's now the question before us. What steaming pile of excrement are we going to get from the Red Sox brass? We're going to we'll tap in to Dave Dombrowski. He's doing a press conference. It's supposed to start at 3. Usually starts a little late. But when he hits the podium, we'll go to Dombrowski.
Oh, good.
And we'll get a live look in on the steaming pile of excrement that we're going to be fed. In the meantime, here's Murray's update. No commercials. Don't go anywhere.